All right, back on the Young Turks. So let's talk about Ro Khanna a little bit, congressman from 17th District that just came out on today's show and said he's a just Democrat. Everybody that talked to him, a couple of people in the Just Democrats talked to him before I did, was like, no, no, Cenk, you don't get it. He's super real, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, okay, I know. But like, you know, like even good guys that are politicians, right? You could sometimes you see them calculating, yep. Right? Like I could almost see it, like the wheels turning.
Totally,
right?
Yeah.
And then I met with Ro, and I'm like, oh no, this dude's like, he's super real. Like he actually cares. He does the things that he says he's going to do, and for the reasons that he says, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like so great to talk to him. Oh, we had a meeting at a random Starbucks outside in DC. Super fun story. I should have teased this one better. Okay, mm-hmm. And you know who comes up and sits down like right next to us?
Hmm.
Alana Kagan, Supreme Court Justice.
Shut up.
And I'm like is
no
that?
No way.
I'm like, bro, is that Alana Kagan? Right?
Where was this?
Just random Starbucks in Washington, D.C.
Oh, in Washington. I'm like, yeah. In L.A.? What,
no,
why?
No, 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 no.
Okay.
When I was in Washington, right?
Okay.
Here's the number of people who recognized her. None. Outside of me and Ro Khanna, right?
Wow.
I'm like waiting for the crowds to come. I'm such a political dork, like, but it is Washington. It's not like it's a, you know, Dubuque. It's like,
yeah.
I'm like, when are people going to start talking to her? She's a Supreme Court justice. How come nobody's recognizing her?
Did you talk to her?
Okay, so then a couple of people finally come up and they're like, "Hey, Cenk, how you doing, man? It's great to meet you." And Ro Khanna's like, "Look, this is the world, right?"
Yeah.
Okay.
It sucks, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
You should be talking to her, not me, right? Finally somebody did go up and talk to her. Me. Yeah,
oh,
of course.
Awesome. That's so cool. And
yeah.
Then what happened?
So I dorked out. Like I would talk to her a little bit, yada yada, and then I had another meeting coming up and Khanna had left and so I went up to her again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, this is now getting borderline stalkerish. But right. And I one of the things I asked her was, do people normally recognize you, not recognize you? Mm-hmm. Because this is tripping me out that a Supreme Court justice is sitting here at a Starbucks and nobody else is doing anything, like, right? And she's like, no, no. She's like, if anyone ever recognizes me, it is almost always a lawyer. Right?
Uh-huh.
But outside of lawyers, she's like, no, I don't get recognized at all.
She's living the dream. She is.
Yeah, because she's doing a kick-ass job, right? Like a job that is very important, powerful, yada yada.
Yes.
And nobody bothers her.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong.
But she has this, like, the respect of her colleagues.
Yes, yes. It's all of the upsides of accomplishing, you know, your goals and having a career that fulfills you. I mean, I'm assuming she feels fulfilled,
right.
But and not having to deal with some of the downsides, because she's a public figure, but she doesn't have to deal with the downsides of being a public figure. And also, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. You know, if you're a fan of the show and you come across me, it's not like I'm thinking, oh my God, don't talk to me. But you know, there's a little bit of fear sometimes in like public places. That, you know, someone who doesn't like me is going to recognize me or
yeah.
Try to cause harm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
So
then I asked her, do you guys ever hang out together, the Supreme Court mm-hmm. justices, and go to dinner? So she's like, sometimes, yeah, like maybe three of us will go.
Did you ask her if she thinks Neil's hot? How right. Inappropriate would that be?
I was already inappropriate enough. And then... I said, do people recognize you guys more then? She's like, yeah, when a bunch of us are together, a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, I just tripped out that nobody knows who they are. Anyway, at the end, she was like, oh, I'll check out your show. And I thought,
please don't.
I'm like, I don't know if I want you to.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So real quick. To that point, Christian's applying for a job, right? And so today I saw him like changing or deleting a bunch of things in social media. And his social media is so tame because he's just like, he's not really a controversial person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, yeah, I just want to make sure that there's nothing that could stand out, that could, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
hinder job prospects or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, just Google, like you Google me. There's like, first of all, there's the crazy stuff that I say sometimes, right? Or all the time. And then there's like the defamatory, completely untrue shit that other people write about me. And I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't, if I tried to scrub the internet, first of all, it's impossible, right? But even if I had this magic ability to scrub the internet of anything that looks bad, I would be working on that for like the next 20 years of my life. Right. We do like 10 videos a day.
I know. If I had a magic wand and I said, scrub internet.
Yeah.
But I don't have a magic wand. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, bottom line is, Ro Khan is awesome, super real guy. And everybody who meets him thinks that. So it's just so refreshing to meet a US congressman who's a real person. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we've yet begun to fight. Before we get into the fun Uber story, war on drugs, go.
Okay, so we did the story about how Mexico happens to be the second deadliest country because of drug war violence, cartels feeling emboldened and more powerful because of this continuous prohibition on drugs, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so 23,000 people in Mexico were killed last year alone because of this drug violence. And so, you know, oftentimes we talk about refugees in Syria, but they're also refugees in Mexico, people that want to get away from that violence and save their families, save themselves. And then it makes me think about our immigration policies and the way that we talk about refugees. And right now, refugee for some reason is automatically synonymous with Muslim, which of course is not true. There are refugees from all sorts of countries that are trying to come here for safety. And I don't care if you're Muslim or not, I would much rather open our borders to people that are looking for safety than doing what we're doing now. So there are two relatively easy ways to get visas in the country, right? Mm-hmm. There are H-1B visas, and those are visas that we give to people who are willing to come here and make less than minimum wage so we can exploit them. Keep it 100, okay? Mm-hmm. Big problem in Silicon Valley. The other one is H-5B visas, is that what they're called? H-1B, anyway, don't quote me on that. But it's the visas that we give to individuals who are incredibly wealthy, foreigners who are incredibly wealthy and are willing.
I think EB-5.
EB-5, yeah, sorry about that. I'm mixing up the numbers. Anyway, there was a huge story, I believe yesterday or the day before, about the Kushner family, you know, going to China and essentially saying, hey, if you invest $500,000 in our properties, we can get you that golden visa. And so I'm looking into that more and more because it has a lot to do with our housing market as well, right? And it's so infuriating. It's so infuriating because wealthy millionaires and billionaires in China want havens for their money. And so what they do is they snatch up all of these properties in areas where housing is already expensive, because of course those are desirable parts of the country. And so they snatch up these homes and look, regulations indicate that they have to live in that property for a certain amount of time, but
they don't.
So they stay vacant, okay? And they have no interest in living there. And so housing prices go up, you know, the housing market experience inflation, and then people that are working really hard and trying to save money for a down payment can't afford these homes because you're competing with these freaking wealthy foreigners. It makes me so mad. And so that's what it's really about, right? Can we exploit you? We'll give you a visa, okay? Are you insanely wealthy? We'll give you a visa.
Yeah, it's almost as if the system is set up to help the already rich and powerful.
Some bullshit.
Yeah, I was wondering why Anna was all motivated by the refugee thing. Always goes back to housing.
It doesn't always go back to housing. I'm fired up about a lot of different things, but.
No, I know it. That's not fair, but.
We used to have these conversations during the meetings, our production meetings, remember? Because it just didn't make sense to me. Our wages have not increased, right? Our wages are still pretty stagnant, right? We've experienced some economic growth, but most of the economic growth is at the top 1%. We all know that. And so how does that translate to how the housing market, you know, increasing prices to pre-2007 levels, right? How is that? That doesn't make any sense.
Now, if you're living in the middle of Nebraska, you have no idea what Anna's talking about. Or you do, but you just haven't experienced it for yourself. But, you know, in LA, it's a little bad. You know, you're all fired up about LA.
No, it's really bad. Are you kidding me?
in Manhattan, it is outrageous.
Absolutely, yes.
All of the houses are, not all, but a ton of the apartments are snatched up by Russians, Chinese, Saudis, Gulf countries, etc. And so, and by the way, and then in New York, just to make it worse, they like basically passed a tax cut for those guys. What? And it, of course, corrupt politicians, yada yada. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's really bad. And what happens is, since there are regulations indicating that these foreign investors do have to live in the property, of course they don't want to live in the property. So what they do is they hire these shady ass companies that just try to make it, they're management companies that just try to make it seem as though someone's living there. So they'll leave a pair of shoes outside the door. Or like, you know, mow the lawn every once in a while to make it seem like someone is staying there. But it's all BS, and it's just so, look, Americans who are working hard are getting squeezed out of the market.
Anna, for Americans first.
Look, I know that, I don't know. Sometimes when I talk about these things, I feel like I do sound nationalistic, maybe. I don't know, because I do care about Americans. Like, I want the country to work for Americans. We're working hard. We're paying our taxes. When is the government going to work for us?
Well, that I 1000% agree.
Right?
Yes. Okay. So, on to a fun story?
Yeah, let's do fun.
Okay. Housing is bullshit. Okay, anyway. Okay. So, I'm taking an Uber. We'll leave out, of course, all the names and details to hide the identities of the fun. I don't know what they want known and not known. Okay. So, first, she says, okay, you know, are you sank? Which is the number one thing that people say, of course, unless they, and some Uber drivers do watch the show, and so they'll say jank, and I'm like, oh, it's a Young Turks view, right? And then then we got into a conversation about my name, right? And I said, no, it's pronounced, this is pronounced like a J in Turkish, it's pronounced jank. She's like, it's like, jank. Jank. That's so funny.
Why?
She just thought it was like the funniest thing. And every time I said or she said jank, she'd laugh again.
She must have partook in the devil's lettuce or something.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then she had a Persian boyfriend. And I don't remember the joke, but his name kind of sounded like something else. And I made a joke about it. Using his name, and she's like, oh, that's good. She's like, that's tomorrow's joke. I'm gonna use that joke. That is tomorrow's joke, jank. So, I found that amusing. Two, I was kind of proud that I got tomorrow's joke. That I made a joke she likes so much, she's gonna use it tomorrow. But this is not the interesting part of the story. That's just a fun prelude. That's just appetizers, meze, if you will, tapas. So, and then we're talking about her and where she grew up and yada yada. And she grew up in, you know, in a tough area of LA, okay? And, but she, now this is gonna sound really bad, but she's the one who said it, so don't, like, she does not have the accent normally associated with that neighborhood, okay?
Okay.
And she says people notice that and they ask her about it, etc. She's like, because I came from a good family. And like, you know, we were just, I was like, oh, that's interesting, that's cool, so we started talking about it a little bit. She's like, look, we were just in a little bit better shape than the rest of the neighborhood, that's all, right? I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And she's like, my mom insisted upon it, and her mom was a little bit religious, and you know, that happens a lot. Same story as Will Smith's from, you know, a couple of days ago in the postgame. And then she said, my mom was a, I said, what'd they do? What did your parents do? My mom was a teacher, and my dad was a drug dealer.
Wow.
And I was like, what? And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, is it funny, like the name Cenk? Right?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I'm not kidding. I'm like a pharmacist or? No, she's like a drug dealer. And I was like, okay, that's kind of awesome. Like, at first I was trying to see if she's like, you know, like, oh, is that what you think my dad is gonna do or something? And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
You're right. I'm like, no, in fact, I'm totally fucking shocked that you just said that, right? No, she was serious. And she's like, and we had then got into like a really great conversation about that's what was available in the neighborhood, right? And so that was a good paying job, and he wanted to provide for his family. And so he took the high paying job that was available because he wanted to be successful and you know, provide for us. And he did. And then my mom and, you know, and he was there too, of course, and but taught us how to do right and went to college, we went to college and yada yada. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, did he ever get caught? Nope, never got caught. And then he retired.
Wow.
Okay.
That is the most positive drug dealing story I've ever heard of.
I know, yeah. Right? And so look, and I've talked about this in the show in the past. That is so real and so true that like we as a society, we, you know, judge these drug dealers and for sometimes obviously for good reason when there's violence involved, yada yada, right? But you know, when you dive into why they do it, it's like when I ask people, why do you watch The Young Turks, and they're millennials, and they go, what else would I watch? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And it, when you say, like, why did you do drug dealing in the middle of Baltimore? Somebody says, what else would I do? Mm-hmm. They literally, like, A, don't have any other opportunities. B, don't realize that there might be opportunities out there because it's not in the thing. And then, so we created these environments where we made drugs illegal, but we made people want to buy them. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the folks that live in those neighborhoods. People drive into the neighborhoods to buy them. White folks come in to buy the drugs, etc. And then you created this economic opportunity where none existed before. And then you blame people for taking that economic opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? And when it's like the only economic opportunity around for most, not most people, but a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right? In those circumstances. So I like that she was flipping about it. Like she's like, yeah, it is what it is, and that was it, and that's what we did.
Wow.
Yeah. And like in my parents' hometown, Kilis was near the border, and Turkey had these nonsensical laws about what you could and couldn't bring into the country, import-export laws, right? Mm-hmm. So there'd be good toothpaste across the border, but you couldn't buy it because it was illegal. But there's nothing wrong with the fucking toothpaste, right?
Right.
It's like, kind of like our laws now with the Canadian drugs.
Right.
Don't import drugs from Canada. It's the same fucking drug. No, it's very dangerous because I got to make more money over here, right? So a lot of people in my parents' hometown were smugglers. Mm. Why? Because that was the economic opportunity that was there, and there was actually no moral issue with it at all. It's just products, soap, yeah, toothpaste, yada yada, and they made more money. They're like, you'd be kind of stupid not to do it. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, I was lucky. My dad, my uncle, et cetera, went to college and they didn't want to deal with that. My dad, he is so risk averse. He's like, oh my God, how did those people who are criminals, like how do they live with themselves? Not because they're bad guys. He's like, but at any point, the other guys can come and get you, the cops can come and get you. He's like, I'd be a nervous wreck. He's like, no,
it's
no.
Just
it's
like my dad.
Yeah. He's like, that's not for me. No. He's like, farming. He's like, I did that when I was young. It was really hot. Not for me. Okay? He's like, so that's why when he found out you get an education, you can get the fuck out. He's like, yeah, that's for me.
Gone.
Gone. Right, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So that's your Uber story. Fun, right? All right, guys. We will see you tomorrow.